4. Ecclesiastes 4. Strange, kind of interesting book. We're going to jump around a little bit today. If you don't know where that is, if you'll go to Psalms, kind of in the middle of your Bible, or keep turning through Proverbs. Ecclesiastes follows Proverbs. We're going to be in chapter 4, starting in verse 6 today. I'm going to read that text in just a minute. Going to start a new series, launching into a new message series titled Unpack Your Bags. We're going to be talking from now and through the Christmas season. I know a lot of people travel, a lot of people go out of town. Some people have other people travel to them during the holiday season, but we're always packing bags. Somebody's getting ready to go or returning from trips. So we're going to be talking from now through actually the first of the year about the stuff that we pack into our lives and carry with us. If you read my newsletter this week, I told you that I am a terrible packer. Absolutely terrible. It's embarrassing to say that when I travel. I even pack more than my wife packs, and she's not here to agree with that. But and I mean a lot more than my wife packs. In fact, I pack more than my wife and my three kids. My three kids pack all together in one suitcase, and Catherine will pack a small suitcase, and I have this gigantic monstrosity of a suitcase, and I always make excuses. Well, we're going home for Thanksgiving. What if somebody asked me to preach and I need a suit or I need dress clothes, or I don't plan on wearing boots, but what just in case, I better bring my boots. And so I pack this gigantic bag and I never use any of it. Literally, I bring more clothes home to put right back in the closet than I ever wear. My wife always laughs at me because I am prepared. She's just the opposite. She gets there and finds out she didn't pack her socks at all. But so we always have to go to Walmart for her. But good news is, don't worry, I've got 20 pairs of socks for a 5-day trip. So, we're just the opposite there. Here's the idea that I want you to kind of grab onto for this series. The things that you pack, this is what I learned. Went to Honduras several years ago for the first time, and I'm a packer, I'm a planner. Mark actually kind of took us, and he kind of trained us. This is what to bring, what not to bring, and how to pack a suitcase. Well, I brought double everything that I thought that I would need, and I packed it in a gigantic suitcase, and I brought a backpack, and I mean, you name it, survival equipment, flashlight, you whatever. I brought my laptop. I brought 3 or 4 books, because what if I have lots of time to read? You never know. And so I pack them all in this backpack, and I realize about the time I get to Houston Airport and we get to the terminal, I've made a dire mistake, because I'm carrying literally 1/4 pound below the limit that you can carry on the plane. I'm carrying my big suitcase. We weighed it. It was 1/4 pound over the limit that they would allow even to get on the airplane. So I pack all this stuff, and guess what I have to do into the airport, out of the airport, to Honduras, to the hotel or where we stayed, the mission house. I have to lug this thing everywhere. And so one day we go on this day trip out to Matamoros, believe, a village. Anyway, it was a long walk. And I think, well, I'm going to bring my backpack, actually, and I said, I'm going to pack this with me. And it's really hot outside, so I'm going to bring water. So, genius Daniel, I had 2 1-gallon jugs of water. I don't know what I was thinking. What if the whole tribe needed water? I don't know. So I pack in the backpack, and James Venable's there with us, and Mark and I, and they're just like trotting right along through this, and I'm coming, guys, as I carry this backpack. But if you're thirsty, anybody need a drink? I've got it. I don't know. I'm just a planner. And so this is what I learned, the lesson I learned that's going to be a key thought to this series. The baggage you pack today, you have to carry that baggage tomorrow. The baggage that you pack in life today, you have to carry that baggage tomorrow. You ought to write that down. The baggage you choose to pack today, you have to carry tomorrow. As I travel through my life, it's amazing how much of the wrong kinds of things I end up accumulating and carrying. Emotionally, physically, spiritually. Today we're going to talk about some physical stuff that we buy and hoard. Later on in this series, we're going to talk about some emotional stuff and some spiritual stuff. So if this doesn't connect with you today, just stay with me. By the end of the series, I promise you will. We will. Sometimes we accumulate stuff. Sometimes we accumulate hurts. Sometimes we accumulate anger or discontentment that grows in all sorts of problems. So we're going to talk over the next few weeks about things that we carry that weigh us down and how to unpack those things. We're going to talk about unpacking our lives so that we don't have to carry tomorrow the things that we're packing in our lives today. Next week, we're going to talk about letting go of distractions. The week after that, we're going to talk about letting go of bitterness and anger. The week after that, we're going to talk about letting go of control and just giving that to God, even through our Christmas season. And so today, though, we're going to talk about physical stuff. I've got a key thought for you today for taking notes. It's better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does matter. It's better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does matter. It's better. Now, I've got a scripture verse. It's kind of an interesting scripture out of Ecclesiastes, and I want you to kind of read it with me and just kind of see. Ecclesiastes 4:6. I know it's a strange verse. I'll have it on the screen in just a second. It's a kind of a different verse, but I just want you to read in your Bibles. This is what it says. One hand, everybody say one hand. One hand full of rest is better than two fistful of labor and striving after the wind. One hand full of rest is better than two fistfuls of hard work. I want you to think about this verse. One handful with rest and tranquility or peace is way better than two handfuls with work and chasing after the wind. So according to this verse, what's better, one handful or two? One. Now, I want us to think about in society how we usually live. Let's just think about at the very beginning. Adam and Eve, they're in the garden. God placed them in the garden, or Adam first. And Adam, man, God looks down, everything's good. Adam has everything he needs in the garden. There was one thing wrong as God looked at the garden at Adam. Do you remember what it was? He was what? Alone, right? He was alone. And so God looks down at Adam and he says, you know, everything's good except it's not good. Adam's alone and he's struggling. We don't know why or what's going on, but God says it's not good for man to be alone. I say amen to that. I love my wife. I couldn't do life without my wife. It's not good for man to be alone. I would agree with that. So God creates woman as his helpmate so they can serve and be together. And everything at that point God says is perfect. I mean, it's so good. Man and woman, they're in the garden. They have every tree that they want to eat. They have everything taken care of. God has this one rule that he gives them. You just go forth and multiply, right? Replenish the earth. And to that command, every man in here says what? Amen. Making sure you men are with us, right? God says, go fill the earth. And so Adam and Eve have this one mandate, man, just rule over the earth, fill the earth. They had everything that they needed. They didn't need anything. But then God says, there's just, you can have all these trees, any of these trees, except for one tree. Just not this one tree. And I want you to see how Satan takes this one limitation. They didn't need anything. They had every tree in the world, but Satan introduced this idea. Well, don't you want that? Don't you need that? Aren't you missing out on this? You can eat from every single tree in this garden, but this one tree. And the serpent comes along and says, you got to try this. You got to taste this. I think God is causing you to miss out on this. This, in my opinion, in between when you're watching a sitcom on TV or a show or movie on television, and you watch for about 20 minutes, and then what happens somewhere during that show? There's a commercial break, right? And that commercial is typically trying to sell us something, right? Almost every commercial, that's their goal. In my opinion, this is the first commercial ever in the Bible. Satan comes in and says, have I got a deal for you? And for the first time ever, here we have Adam and Eve. They're totally content. They have everything they need, everything they want. For the first time, Adam and Eve look around and they realize, or they start to think, maybe I need that. You ever watched a commercial? And by the end of the commercial, you thought, I think that'd be kind of nice. You know, my wife, she knows it. You just can't watch an infomercial. I ban her from watching infomercials. She can't watch them. I don't care what it is, the rotisserie oven, you know, the steamer. It doesn't matter what. It doesn't matter what. At first glance, when that show starts, she's like, oh, that's stupid. We don't need that. If she watches it 30 minutes, she would buy a solid piece of rock off the television. 30 minutes is all it takes. By the end of that thing, so, man, anytime I come in, there's an infomercial, I'm like, get that thing off the TV. Well, I can't find the remote. How much did it cost me? I mean, by 30 minutes into it, she'll say, that's the dumbest thing. And then she's saying, man, that'd be really handy. Well, what would we do with that? Well, I just ordered two of them. Never gets that bad. But the whole idea of those commercials is to create need in our lives that we didn't think we had or desire in our lives. That's what Satan does. He comes, he says, you know, I think this will make you happy. I think this is what you need. And they began to believe that what they didn't have was the thing that would make them happy. Can anybody else identify with that? Not how Satan works. Man, God has all these blessings for us. We can count 10,000 things, 10,000 reasons to give. But, you know, we've got a car, and if one car is good, two cars have got to be better, right? If $1 is good, $2 has got to be better, right? Man, we can go down the list. If one hunting rifle man is good, two's better. Or three, right? Wives? How many pairs of shoes you got in your closet?
One.
Right? One. How many liars we have in the building? For sure, one. Nora, you can come forward afterwards. Was that you, Nora? It's fun when you're in a church just the right size where you actually know the voice of the person talking to you. I love that. You can't say anything in here and not get called out by the preacher. It's just how Satan works. Man, you just got to have more and more and more and more and more. It's interesting. David the psalmist, he said, "For the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what?" Isn't that cool? We read that 1,000 times. We're like, yeah, that's the 23rd psalm. I know that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And yet we go through life just always wanting, wanting, wanting. One is good, but two's better, and three's even better, and four and 47 are way better. We never really have enough. So I want you to consider this morning, is more always better? Ecclesiastes 4:6 says, one handful is better with peace and tranquility than two with toil and work and trouble and stress. I love that word better. Better is one handful with peace than two with work and chasing after the wind. In other words, it's better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what really does matter. I want you to write this statement down. We're going to start with it. We're going to finish with it. This is why it matters. Because your life is too valuable. Your calling is too great. And your God is too good to waste your life on stuff that doesn't matter. Just write that down. Just let that sink. Your life is way too valuable. How many lives do you have, by the way?
One.
Your life is way too valuable. Your calling is far too great. Your God is far too good to waste your life on stuff that doesn't matter. Jesus warned us about this. Luke 12, verse 15. If you want to turn your Bibles there. If not, I'm going to have it on the screen. I love this verse. Luke 12, verse 15. Jesus is talking to a powerful story, two sons. They were real excited about their inheritance. They were kind of fighting and arguing about it. Luke 12, 15. Jesus says this to them. And man, just sometimes when Jesus speaks, man, just powerful words. He looks at him, he says, beware, beware. Everybody see it in your Bibles? In other words, watch out. That some of your Bibles will translate it that way. Listen, anytime Jesus says, watch out, you better watch out. Anytime Jesus says, watch out, and then he goes on and adds this, be on your guard. Are there any difference between those two statements? Not much, right? So it's basically like Jesus says, watch out, and then says it again, watch out. This is important, Jesus said. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, he goes on to say. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Then he goes on to say, because life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Life isn't about what you have. So I want you to say this with me. My life does not consist of stuff. Turn to your neighbor and say, your life does not consist of stuff. Do you need to turn to the other neighbor that you didn't choose the first time? The less liked neighbor of the two? I know this feels like such a basic truth, but I felt so compelled to preach this because We live in a culture that tells us the opposite of that. It screams the opposite of that. Your life is about your job, or your life is about your portfolio financially, or your life is about your education or your career, or even your family, your children. Your life is about how athletic you are, how successful you are. Man, our culture screams. But listen, Jesus says, watch out, your life is not your stuff. I hope you understand this morning that the car that you drive, it's not you. The clothes that you wear, you're not what you own. You are not your stuff. And it's incredibly quiet right now because you know what we spend the majority of our lives doing? Accumulating stuff. In fact, for a majority of you, the longer you live, they're preaching for me. I love it. The more stuff you have, right? The more storage. I mean, it always cracks me up. Lance is going to kill me. He's got storage buildings down here. By the way, here's your advertisement. You can rent a storage building from Lance. Lance, no one's going to want it after I'm done with this sermon, brother. We pay to store our junk. That's crazy. I open some of those storage bills, you know, I watch that Storage Wars, and sometimes you're like, you're paying $50, $60 a month to store a $20 sofa. It makes no sense. There's never anything good in there. Lance goes and buys storage rooms at a time and puts them on a trailer, and I always make fun of him. I'm like, man, you got a pile of trash. He's like, that's, you kidding me? Samantha, I'm helping you out. Lance is like, that's liquid gold, brother. And you people buy his junk and store it in his storage building. It's a genius system. Got some junk to sell you and a place to store it. Your life is too valuable. Your calling is too great. And your God is too good to waste your life on stuff that doesn't matter. Your stuff does not consist. Your life does not consist of the stuff that you have. That's a lie that culture tells us. Man, if you just have all this stuff, this thing and this thing and this thing, then you'll be happy, you'll be fulfilled, you'll be joyful, you'll be cool, you'll fit in, you'll feel good about yourself, you'll be significant. Man, whatever it is, the world will try to feed you this lie that says to be happy, you need something else. I can prove that because in the garden, Adam and Eve had everything. Everything that they could need. And Satan said, I think that one tree over there is what you need. You want to be happy, you just got to taste that fruit. And immediately the seed was planted. Eve couldn't get out of her mind. Man, I want that. Man, I think I got to have that. Man, I wish God would give that to me. I want to ask you a serious question today. What if the stuff you have is actually robbing you of the life that you want? Serious question. What if the stuff you have is actually robbing you of the happiness that you want? What if the stuff you think makes you happy is actually the very stuff that's making you miserable? That's why Solomon says, better's one handful with peace in your life than two handfuls with a lot of hard work and stress and trouble. Because you know what we end up doing? Man, we own our stuff, but really our stuff owns us. And we end up spending our life working to pay off stuff. And we're stressed because we've got bills to buy more stuff. And then we're stressed because we don't even have a place to put stuff. And we think that stuff is what makes us happy. In the end, that stuff is actually what's making us miserable. Solomon says it's better to have one handful and have peace than two handfuls and have stress and worry and anxiety. So what I'm going to do today is kind of the perfect time of year when you're about to go buy a bunch of junk and give it to your kids or your husband, your wife, or your family, and your kids are going to ignore even the stuff that you buy, and they're going to play with the box more than the stuff. Have you ever seen that? Every year. I mean, this coming Friday is called what? Black Friday. Crazy people all over this nation will stay up all night. On the day that we're supposed to be thankful, just think about what culture's done, church. Black Friday used to be on Friday. When's Black Friday start now? Thursday night.
So the day we're supposed to be sitting around the table, God, we're so thankful for all your blessings. We're so thankful for who you are. We're so thankful. You know what we're doing? We're searching Walmart circulars to find out where we need to get in line for the $4 toaster. It's true, we bought 3 last year. I'm joking. Just 2. So the whole time, I never really put that together before. Then we get all those circulars. How many of you look through circulars on Thanksgiving Day? Look at the hands. Some of you are like, yeah, your phone counts. Yeah. Well, just because it's not in paper, it wasn't a circular. You're getting your email. Look what Best Buy has on. You mean, let me in Bass Pro Shops. Look at this Bass Pro Shop deal. What can I get? Look at this Black Friday special. And so the whole time we're supposed to be going, God, man, I'm abundantly blessed. I have all this. Instead, somehow this day has become about what we want, not what we have. Isn't that sad? Kind of interesting. Well, I got a 65-inch television, but man, Walmart has a 75-inch now, and it's the price of 65-inch, and what can we do with this 65-inch? We'll have to find something to do with it. That's a stupid statement. But we say it all the time. I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, I've been in those lines. There's a reason it's called Black Friday. You want to see the dark side of somebody? Just cut in front of them for the $4 toaster. Try to grab the last one. I literally watched a fist fight one time. There was a raft of basketballs. Basketballs! Not even good basketballs! Like $10 basketballs that were on sale for $5. And they said, like, you know, 11:30, they'll open this pallet and you can grab the basketball. And I see a man come up and he's sitting beside, he's got his pocket knife, he's doing this. Like, what are you doing? He looks at, what? You cutting open the cellophane with your pocket knife? So you can get a basketball early? This other dude comes up. You can't do that, man. You can't do that. Listen, don't push a guy with a pocket knife. Hey, look, a basketball? I said, Catherine, we got to go. This place is crazy. Crazy. She said, I got to have a basketball. That's what she just said from right there. Every kid got a basketball that year. I had to shoot the guy with the knife, but it's crazy. Better is one handful with peace and tranquility than 2 handfuls with hard work and stress and labor. I'm going to give you 3 thoughts how to live a one handful kind of life. How to find peace in having what matters rather than worry and work in having what does not matter. First thing, if we really embrace this idea that one handful of stuff matters, that matters is way better than a heaping dump truck of stuff that doesn't. If we're going to really embrace this idea, the first thing we have to do, we have to get rid of some things. We have to get rid of some things. And listen, I'm not telling you what. Again, I'm going to tell you, your stuff doesn't matter to God as long as your stuff doesn't have you. There's a difference. Sometimes we just have to learn to throw out some things. That's my first point. When you look at the junk that most of us have, it's absolutely ridiculous. So I just want to encourage you, consider throwing out stuff as your life depends on it, because maybe it does. Maybe it's that serious. Your life, Jesus says, does not consist in the abundance of the junk that you have in your drawers, in your closet, in your attic, in your garage. I mean, I have a 2-car garage in my house that I can't fit another bicycle in, let alone a car. Seriously. We have 9 bicycles in my garage. I told my wife when I wrote this sermon it was 7, and then I counted the next day and it's 9. Now I'll give you one of them's Max's. Lance doesn't have enough storage room. Wait till he gets my bill. It's coming. 9 bicycles. So much junk. One time it was going to hail outside. My dad and mom were visiting. Their car was out. We spent 30 minutes clearing enough space in the garage to get his hood covered. Right? Not a car, the hood.
because of junk. I mean, at some point, Brother David hung up shells with chains. I know I'm not the only one with this problem, because all the way around the garage is shells with chains with totes on them. How many of you have shells with chains and totes? I know Daryl does. Look at him. The rest of you are using Lance, right? Your stuff's stored down there. We just piled in. And then we say, well, we just need to build a storage, you know, the code word for that for men is, you know, workshop. I need a workshop. I need space to work. Otherwise, I need space to store more stuff. Amen. It's true. I see your garage. All yours is just as bad as mine. More is not always better. It's the same way with a lot of things in life. Like, sleep is good, but is too much sleep good? I mean, coffee is good. But as you can tell this morning, I've drunk a lot of coffee today. It's probably not good. It's either the Holy Spirit or Folgers. I don't know. And I'm not talking about just decluttering. I'm talking about de-owning stuff. Get rid of stuff. I mean, how many of you spend days a year just organizing stuff? Just think about that. You know, what do you do when you clean out your garage? What do you do with all the stuff that's inside? You take it all outside, right? I can pick on Daryl because he's my neighbor, because I see him. I'm like, oh, all Daryl's stuff's in his front yard. It's either a garage sale, right? Or he's cleaning his garage. And you know what he does with all that stuff? I do the same thing. Daryl comes by like, Daniel, I have a garage sale? Nope. Just reorganizing my junk. And you clean your garage, you get all of it out, you're like, man, I'm organized. My garage looks great. Except for all that has to go back in there. You finish and you're like, still can't use my garage. Sometimes we just need to get rid of some stuff. I don't even know what's in most boxes at my house. I haven't needed that stuff in years. I've got closets at home. I've got totes. I've got boxes. And they're just full of stuff. And we spend so much time reorganizing stuff. And sometimes it's like me and you're always reorganizing stuff. And you know, there's just sometimes we need to consider, what can I get rid of? What can I declutter? Because here's the deal you ought to consider. If you haven't used something in 5 years, maybe there's somebody out there that could use that. Maybe you could sell that, and maybe there's somebody hungry in the world that needs a meal that you could buy for them. We're going to get there later. No, you're not there yet. Like, you're just telling me to sell my stuff and give it away? Yeah, we're going to go there. Because God did not give you that stuff to hoard it and to pile it and to save it. Because your life does not consist of stuff. That's what Jesus says. Maybe owning a lot less is way better than organizing a lot more. This is in the Bible. Man, we know we love our stuff. And so we kind of kick back at it. But man, there was a guy in the New Testament that in many ways I can relate to. He was known as a rich young ruler. And he was young and he was an up-and-coming kind of leader. And he had all this stuff. And this problem is, by the way, with him, Jesus didn't say this to everybody. So it's not like everybody has to do what Jesus said. But this guy, Jesus knew his heart. And so Jesus said something to him that Jesus really hadn't said to anybody else. He comes up and says, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to be part of your kingdom. And the problem was he had a lot of stuff. And Jesus said, that's fine, you can. Just go sell everything you have. Just go sell it. Give it to the poor. Come and you can be part of my kingdom. You can follow me. The rich young ruler, very sad. He loved his stuff so much, he said no. He went away with his head down and, you know, pouting, and because he had a lot of stuff. But having the stuff wasn't the problem. The stuff had him. Do you see that? There's a difference. Don't come here today and say, Daniel said we can't have stuff. I have stuff. But where it gets dangerous is when the stuff has us. When the stuff gets in the way of us serving God and following Jesus, when we're working 24 hours a day, you know, 60 hours a week, so we can pay the loans for the stuff that we didn't really need.
to impress the people that we shouldn't even need to impress. Then the stuff, I can't serve God. I can't volunteer. Got to work. Why? Because I've got to pay off something. It's true. You know why churches, you know why volunteer organizations hurt today? It's because people have so much debt, so much stuff, or something else that they want. They're working hard just so they can get the next thing. They get the next thing, and they're not happy still. They move on to the next thing. And we spend our whole lives accumulating stuff and working our jobs, and then we get to retirement. We have all this stuff, and our kids, you know what? They don't even know what to do with all of our stuff when we die. They don't want your stuff. Because you taught them a great lesson in life. Get your own stuff. And so you know what they've lived for? The same thing you live for. Even more so, because they want all their stuff when they're 30. They want all the stuff you have when they're 30 that you accumulated your whole life. So they'll work harder than you, and they'll get more education just so they can make more money so that they can have more stuff. And they'll do it way earlier than you do. It's true. So we have a generation that lives for what they can buy. And we pitch this whole idea of college education about get a good career so that you can make a lot of money, so you can have the things you want in life. Somewhere in that picture should have been, hey, go get a good education so you can have a good career, so you can serve God. Right? With your wealth, with your blessing, with what God gives you. So you can give that education and use it to build His kingdom. Sometimes we just need to throw out stuff. It's not wrong to have stuff. It's just wrong when your stuff has you. That's why, you know, have you ever thought why we don't throw out stuff? You know why we don't throw out stuff? Two reasons I could come up with. Two reasons why we don't give stuff away. The first is fear. It's fear. Now you're going, I'm not afraid to get rid of stuff. Yeah, you are. The whole reason you keep stuff is because you're afraid you might need it sometime in the future. Well, I may need this sometime. You don't want to be a waste. You want to be a good steward. You grew up in the Depression era, maybe, and you said, we took care of stuff. We don't throw stuff away. I was that way. Didn't grow up that age, but my parents taught me to take care of stuff. And listen, I'm telling you, it's a great deal to take care of the stuff that you own. I got on a four-wheeler last night, pulled out of the garage that I bought in 1991. Thing still looks brand new. I took care of it. I take care of my junk. Rode that thing, what, one time this 2019, last night. Every time I start it up, I got to pour fuel treatment in it and everything else, buy a new battery every year. But stuff, I don't want to get rid of it because as soon as I do, I may want it. In the future, you never know. I still fish with a reel that I bought my senior year of high school. Works perfectly because I took care of it. Listen, that's a great quality to have. Take care of your stuff. But that mindset also gave me this idea that, man, I just need to save everything because I may need it again. So when I buy it, I'm like, man, I paid for that. I want to save it. And listen, that mentality, it kind of saturates us. So we have garage fulls of stuff that we haven't used for years and we're keeping it. Why? I might need it. Now, I haven't needed it in the last 5 years, but year six, that's going to be the one. And all that's saying is, I have a fear that God may not provide for me in the future, so I'm going to hoard today. It's true. Just let that sink in as you consider your bank account. I don't want to give it away. I don't want to use it for God's work because I might need it in the future. I mean, God is faithful today, but He might not be faithful tomorrow. So instead, I'm going to buy a storage building. Sometimes we just need to throw out. We need to get rid of stuff. Man, what if we give this stuff away that we might need 10 years in the future to someone down the road that might need it right now? And then what if we trusted God to take care of us in the future? God, I'm going to give this away, but I'm trusting that You're going to continue to take care of me as You always have. Sometimes we just need to get rid of stuff. It's like my closet. I could show you a picture of my closet. It'd be embarrassing. My closet's absolutely packed with clothes that I do not wear. Not only do I not wear them, I cannot wear them. Anybody have those in your closet? I mean, it's been 2006 since I could wear 32s.
I'm pushing 36s now. It's not a good thing. It's because I have the same problem with food as I do stuff. But you know what? I still have my 32s. Why? I might need them. Get my diet plan on and you never know. Right? How many of you said that before? I mean, I've been wearing extra large shirts. Really, it all started when I got married. It went up from there. It's happiness, see? That's what it is. I still have all my large shirts. Because what if one day I don't have anything to wear? Or what if I lose weight and I might need them and I'd have to buy new clothes, right? That's why some of you have like the MC Hammer bell bottoms in your closet. You're waiting. What if they come back in style? They won't. And if they do, you still shouldn't wear them. It's true. It's true. Throw it out. Give it away. Get rid of it. Sell it. I don't know. One handful is better with peace than two. You know what? I can't even find clothes in my closet. One of the most stressful parts of my day, especially Sunday, is looking for clothes to wear. I'm like, you know, you get to the point where like the hanger won't even fit. You have so much junk. So I just thought, here's my, let's throw it in there. Catherine's like, what is this? I do it. She gets so mad. She's like, it's not even hangers. The hanger wouldn't fit. So I just parted two, stuffed the shirt between. It was so tight it stayed. Throw it out. Get rid of it. Give it away. We have a clothes closet down here. I mean, throw it out. Too much stuff. Second thing we're going to do is going to get you ready for Black Friday. I didn't know this, but you know, my son told me this week we were reading he was reading a homework assignment actually, and Samuel was about Thanksgiving, and it was really kind of interesting. I didn't know this. You know, Thanksgiving used to be on the last Thursday in November, the last Thursday. The problem with that is sometimes there's five Thursdays in November. And so, rather than being the fourth Thursday, it was on the last. And so, some years, that would mean that instead of having 4 weeks to get ready for Christmas, you actually lost a week somehow. You only had three. So, the toy lobbyists lobbied with the government and said, would you please make a proclamation that it's the fourth so that the Christmas shopping season is a week longer? Did you know that went on? How many of you knew that? How many of you knew that? So the scheme of the government was, so that we can get all that proceeds from you buying junk, we'll make sure that Thanksgiving's the fourth Thursday to give you an extra week to go spend your money. Genius. Genius. Can you imagine if we said, hey, some months have five Sundays. Some months have four. So we're going to add an extra Sunday on Saturday so that we get 5 weeks of tithes and not four. Yeah, Daniel just went. I saw the look, yet you fall for it for Thanksgiving. Why not? You would know. That's a ripoff. Somebody's working a system here, yet we all fall for it. It's all about money, not about Thanksgiving. You know why it's about? The dollar. Somebody wants more stuff, so they want to sell you their stuff so that they can buy more stuff. That's what the whole retail market's about, by the way. I didn't know that. Point number two, we're going to throw out some stuff. We're going to get rid of some stuff. We're going to buy less. We're going to buy less. This couldn't be better timing. 62% of people actually admit to shopping to cheer themselves up. 62%. Man, I feel bad. I want to go shopping. Gives me a sense of momentary significance to buy something that I don't need with money that I don't have to impress people that I don't even like. There's something about people just love to shop. Because deep in our hearts, when we don't have the thing out there, we believe that that thing is the one thing we need to be fulfilled, to be complete, to be satisfied. Psalm 119, I love what Solomon said. Psalm 119, verse 36, he said, incline my heart to your word, not to meaningless things. Not to dishonest things, not to worthless things. Incline my heart to your word. And I love that picture. Here's the deal. This is what I want to share here. Because Jesus has defined, we don't need stuff to define us. Jesus has already defined who we are. He's already given us everything that we need.
Because when I look back at my own life, when I look back over my own childhood memories, if I were to ask you, what are your favorite memories of childhood? What are your favorite memories? Experiences. If you were to say that, what are my best memories? I would never answer, well, Mom, Dad, it was when you bought me that remote-controlled truck at Christmas. I would never say, well, Mom, Dad, it was when you, you know, bought me that stereo system or that Nintendo video game and I got to play Mario Brothers for the first time. If I were really think back at my favorite memories, I wouldn't ever say things that I got. You follow me here? I wouldn't ever say things that I opened up. I would say things like, my favorite memories are every evening when I get in from school. My dad, the best money he ever spent was on concrete. He leveled a place. We got out and leveled a spot in our backyard and he poured a basketball court. And he cemented a pole in the ground and he put a goal up there. And every evening after school, 5-6 nights a week, my brother, 3 years older than me, my dad, and myself would get out there and we had a game of 21 every night. Man, we're just dripping with sweat or we're freezing cold in the wintertime. I remember those basketball games. I'm sure even when I go back for Thanksgiving, there will be a point where my dad will say, you want to go out and shoot some baskets? He comes down here and he'll say, we can go down to the gym and shoot some baskets. It's something we always did. I remember that. I remember going to Sardis Lake, eastern Oklahoma. We went every year, every other year. There was a place there called Primitive Camping. No water, no electricity. We had a little fishing boat, and we would fish, and we would camp, and Mom would cook on that campfire. We would say every year, can we go to Primitive Camping at Sardis Lake? Not the kind that with electricity. It was more fun if we didn't have to take baths. I remember going to the Grand Canyon, hiking all around that thing. We spent a week just hiking. Remember, we went on a 10-mile hike one time with Mom and Dad. Mom brought one cup of water. We went on a 10-mile hike. Here we go, 10-mile hike. I was little. I was Samuel's 18, 12, 13 years old. Here we go on this 10-mile hike. And we get to the end point, and we realize we thought it was a big circle taking us back. It was 10 miles. You know how you got back? 10 miles. We like to die. I don't drink after people. I don't. If you know me, I've just been weird like that. I won't. I barely will my wife. That's about it. If somebody comes up and grabs my glass of water, takes a drink, it's your water. Just how I roll. I'm like, nope. You just, no, you can have it. It's okay. I'm nice. I don't go gross. I'm like, oh, no, you can have that. It's good. We had one cup of water. I was either going to drink after somebody or die. We were all four around that water. Sip at a time. Mom literally had to ration out. Just to swallow, that's enough. Like, Mom, I'm dying here. Man, I'll never forget that. It was fun. Mom and Dad hiking in the middle of the Grand Canyon. We had big family dinners growing up. Man, my mom can cook. My grandma can cook. We'd all sit down around the table after a long day of fishing, playing basketball outside in the backyard. We had a pond across from my grandparents' house called Wilson's. We called it Wilson's, kind of like your neighbor's lake. Wilson's, best fishing in Meeker. We'd go over there. My family had permission to fish. My grandpa, up to when he was 90 years old, we were taking him fishing. My grandpa, my dad, my brother, and I. We'd go fishing. You don't ask me, what's your favorite memory? The Nintendo that you bought me in 81? No. That stuff didn't matter. And you know what? It doesn't matter today. Here's the deal. So often we don't have time for the things that do matter because we're working to pay off and buy the things that don't matter. It's true. We're working so hard organizing our piles of junk in our lives, we don't have time to enjoy really what does matter. And so my wife and I have kind of got into that. We're going to buy less and we're going to experience more. And we tell our boys that. Yeah, we can buy some more junk for Christmas. We can buy some more stuff for your birthday, or we can go somewhere. Why don't we go somewhere? And they'll almost always choose doing something over having something. They just love that. Now, there's some things you buy to do, like four-wheelers. I'm okay with that. I know it's expense, but you know what? It's a fun one. We have a boat. Everybody knows that. Judge me all you want. I hate that boat. I do. Nothing fun about this. Woo, right? But you know what I love? Turn around and seeing my three boys holding on to a tube. Ah! 8 hours every Monday. I turn my phone off. Nobody can call me. I love it. I broke one of my kids' arms this year. It was fun. Because that stuff we won't have an opportunity to do when they get in high school and college. It's trading maybe a bunch of junk for some experience. Every year we do, we take off and we go to the Alamo Bowl at Christmas. Man, we make a big deal of it. Take all the boys. We went to see OU play Baylor last week. Took all the boys. We're sitting out on a blanket in the berm around Baylor fans. Caleb and Isaac are playing football in the back with kids we don't even know. They're loving it. And we're cheering on our team because they'll remember those experiences. I don't know, eating $8 pretzels and laughing at all the crazy people around us. My wife was one of them. It's fun. Man, don't trade stuff for experiences. We'll go after Christmas to a trampoline park called Urban Air. Every year, we've done it the last 5 years. Catherine and I, three boys, we go in there and we play dodgeball with complete strangers. And it's the Harpers versus anybody that steps onto the court. And at some point, there's going to be a 10-year-old that's really smarty that my wife is going to hit with a dodgeball. I can't take it anymore, Daniel. Experience is over stuff. We got to throw some stuff out and we got to buy less. We got to focus on things that do matter, church. Buy less. Throw out, buy less, and lastly, give more. Give more. I love what Paul told Timothy. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. Probably the most pointed text on this subject that I could present to you this morning. It's in two parts, so I wanted you to read both parts with me. Command those who are rich in this world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is uncertain. Now I want to stop there for just a second, because a lot of you just shut down. You said, command those who are rich, and you said, that's not me. You said, I know some rich people, but I'm not rich. But I know most of us do that. You know, I work with a rich person, or my boss is a rich person, or so-and-so is a rich person. But let me just put that in global perspective for a moment. If you drove somewhere today, you are in the 7th percentile of the wealthiest people on this planet. If you drove somewhere today, you're in the top 7%. That means that 93% of the world under you have less than you do. You're top 7%. Most everyone in this room is in the top 10%. Most everyone in this room. If you have three meals a day, or at least the option to have those, you're a rich person. You're in the top 40% of people alive today. If you're able to order a pizza on your phone, if you're in a culture that you can do that, you're in the top 2%. So he says, command those who are rich in this world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is uncertain. Where do we put our hope? We put it in God, who richly provides. Our God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. We're going to go on a little bit. This verse goes further, but I want you to see in that verse, we don't have to feel guilty about the things that we have. We don't. God is a God who blesses. We don't have to feel guilty if we have nice stuff. You just don't let the stuff have you. You can actually enjoy it, this verse says. God provides everything for our enjoyment. Guess what? God wants us to have a good life. God wants you to enjoy the things that you have. I love that. That's what he says. Have fun with it. God is a God who blesses. But then he goes on. Don't hoard it. Look at this next part. Verse 18. Command them to do good. To be rich in good deeds. To be generous and willing to share. In this way, they'll lay up treasures for themselves in the coming age so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. You know, this life is not life.
The next one, that's the one that matters. Your life doesn't consist in the abundance of stuff, Jesus says. But when you're a blessing when you choose experiences, when you overflow from the goodness of your heart and the goodness of God and you're generous for other people, man, that's the life that's truly life, is what Paul says. Man, we have less of what doesn't matter. We have more of what does matter. In fact, when I think about stuff, man, I never get emotional about stuff. Just think about that with me. Like, I don't have any emotional getting stories. Like, yeah, I got that 65-inch TV. I'm just in tears about it. Or you're walking out of the iPhone store with the iPhone 17, and you're just jumping up and down. Now, some people are crazy, and you're crying. You say, I just got to tell you the story about how I got the iPhone 17. In fact, we don't have those emotional getting stories. They're really not that cool. You're kind of embarrassed that you have the iPhone 17 a little bit because you know it was a waste of money. And so people are like, oh, you got the new iPhone 17. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was buy one, get one free. I don't have any emotional getting stories. I tell you what else I don't have. I don't have any emotional keeping stories. Man, I was just about to give an offering to the Gideons to buy Bibles for those that don't have them. I was just about to give that money, but then I decided not to, and I feel great about that. Anybody have any emotional keeping stories? Man, somebody was hungry, and they had two cute little kids that didn't have any food, and I was like, I could take them and buy them a meal at Highway 6, but then I thought about the fishing gear that I wanted, and I bought that instead, and I feel great about myself. Anybody have any good keeping stories? Anybody want to share a keeping story this morning? I'm just so glad I hung on to that. It's true. It's true. I don't have any emotional keeping stories. Man, my neighbor, their oven went out. And I could buy them an oven, but Black Friday's Thursday. And I'm going to go buy a toaster oven for $4, even though I have another one. So I'm just going to keep my money. I don't know. Think about your refrigerators. Everybody's got an extra freezer in their garage nowadays. Neighbor calls, our freezer went out. We don't know what we're going to do with all this food. Well, I bought a new freezer last year. Didn't know what to do with the other one that I had that still works, so I put it in the garage. I don't even know what's out there anymore. Is that deer meat? Or is that beef? Anybody have mystery meat in their freezer? I've got a freezer in my garage. I don't know what's in it. I find it when it stops working. That's the only time I look. I think the freezer's out. Yeah, it's out. Then we'd go buy another one, right? We didn't know it was in the last one, but I don't know. I just don't have any good keeping stories. I really don't. Not any emotional getting stories, not any emotional keeping stories, but I have a ton of emotional giving stories. You do too, or you should. You know, this week, a young man come by my office, has a little girl. He said, I need help. He was in my youth group. That's cool. Now, you know, when I've been here long enough that I'm seeing these kids that I got to minister to as youth minister, they're adults now with kids and families, and he's never come in before, never needed help before. He said, I'm behind. I got to have help. They're going to turn off my water tomorrow. They turned off my water today. Turn off my electricity tomorrow. He said, I paid everything I can. I'm working. I get paid in a week. They may come get my kid, take my kid. I've got to do something. You know, usually people come in and I say, well, how much are your bills? And it's like $600 or, you know, they're behind. They've been milking it for months. Every organization, he said, no. He said, I owe $63 at the water company and I owe $74 at the electric company. I don't even want to do that math. $130, $140. Gets him water and electricity through Thanksgiving.
all the way to December 15th. Man, I couldn't wait. And the church didn't do it. I'm not bragging. Could have done it through the church. Called Catherine. I said, we're doing this. $100. I mean, we spend $50 when we go to Sonic sometimes. Right? You do too. Don't judge me. I have some emotional giving stories. Samuel was with me. Went by his house. Walked up and said, your water's turned on. Had to pay cash for his electric bill. Had to take it to Stephenville. And I said, I'm going to trust you to do it. And I'm going to call the number to make sure you did. He said, I'll leave right now, Pastor, right now. Got in his car as we left. He said, I'm going. Going to have electric. Going to have water for Thanksgiving. Man, I'm tickled about that. I could go on and on, and most of them I know you don't have an opportunity to hear, and a lot of them you're part of as a church, and giving to the Ministry Alliance, that we give money that's not even mine to bless people. But I could tell you story after story after story about people come in the office that have deep need. We had another couple come in this week. They needed water too, didn't they? Great couple. Great couple. Man, love Jesus, going to church, plugged in, new to this community. Sue calls me and says, and you know, Daniel, you need to get in here. You need to, this, they need help. Man, there's just as much a blessing to us as we were to them. So water bill, yeah, write a check. That one the church did, so write a check, Sue. She said, I was hoping you'd say that. If I hadn't, she would have. Man, they leave here. The lady's just sitting in the chair. She's sitting in the chair as Sue writes the check and hands it to her. I'm talking to her husband, and she's just looking at the check going, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Man, I love that. I've got some emotional giving stories. Those all happened Thursday. There's just two. Thursday. I know that Sunday school classes, you'll adopt families, and man, you carry a load of toys in and set it down in someone's Christmas tree. Man, that's a pretty cool story. Took some in last year, one of you classes delivered. Kids weren't home. I said, I want to bring them when the kids aren't home. They said, why? I said, that's how I prefer. Brought all the toys in. I mean, y'all bought a heaping load of toys. I get all the blessing of delivering. I said, so from our Sunday school class, we pile it in there around the tree. And she said, well, do you want to write a note from the kids? And I said, no, the class wants you to give these to your kids. You mean these can come from us? Yeah. I mean, what parent wants to say, I couldn't get you anything, but some people love you at the church. I know that's good. But I said, no, these are from you to your kids. God's given these to you as parents to bless your kids with. She's just crying. You mean I get to give my kids presents? Yeah, they're yours. I'm giving to you first. You do what you... Oh, you would not believe the joy on this mama's face to feel like she could bless her kids with Christmas. Are you accumulating on earth what you can't keep? Are you investing in heaven what you can't ever lose? Sometimes we just need to unpack our bags. We need to throw out. We need to buy less. We need to give more. Less of the stuff that just accumulates and gets in the way of what matters. Less of the stuff that just distracts us and keeps us from really enjoying the blessing of life, because I'll end with this statement again. Your calling is too great. Your life is too valuable. Your God is too good to waste this one life on things that don't last. Solomon says, one handful is better with peace than two with stress and fear and toil. You know, I got thinking about that. Why is one handful better? Because sometimes we're so packed up in life. All of our hands are full. Our lives are full. But man, if you've just got one handful full and you come and someone needs help, you know what you can do? You can help them. And you know, if someone needs encouragement and you've just got one handful, you know what you can do? You can come alongside them and you can encourage them. You know what you can do if you've just got one handful full? You can praise God for what you have. But sometimes our lives are so cluttered with junk and mess, and our hands are so full, and our hearts are so busy, and our minds are so distracted, we don't have time to help others, we don't have time to encourage others, we surely don't have time to praise God. Because we're just going through life accumulating as much stuff as we can. And before we finish, that stuff has us more than we ever had that stuff. Maybe there's somebody here today that you spent your life pursuing something. You don't even know what. All you know is when you get it, it doesn't work. You're not happy. You're not fulfilled. You're not complete. And so you go on to search for the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And I just want to say, we are not created to be satisfied with anything in this world. We're not. Nothing in this world will satisfy. That's why God sent His Son, Jesus, to take our broken, sinful nature and to heal it and to make it right. And only God can fill that void that's in our life that we go around this world looking and looking and shopping and working and toiling just to get. And none of it fills that void. But God can. That's you this morning. We're going to have an invitation in just a second. I want to tell you, there's one thing that will fill that void in your life, and that is Jesus Christ. If you don't know Him, my prayer is this holiday season, even today, that you'd put your faith and trust in Him. But maybe for the rest of us, we need to remember, some of us, we have some stuff we need to throw out. We need to buy less. Just remember that Thursday night. And we need to give more. We need to give more. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for Your Word today as we think about the baggage in our lives. Father, I ask You that by Your power, and I pray this over my life and my family, God, that You would help us let go of the stuff that weighs us down and holds us back. Father, not that we have to feel guilty about the way You bless us. We know You're a generous God, but Father, we don't want that stuff to own us, to define us, to have us. Father, and help us to not believe the lie that there's something out there that we don't have that we need to be complete. Father, You're the only thing we need. Father, there's someone here today that's been searching, that's been seeking their whole life and looking in wrong places for fulfillment, for peace. Father, I pray that they would find that in You today. Father, help us to throw out. Help us to buy less. Help us to give more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you stand